Father, I'm just asking right now that you drop down upon your people. Bless each and every one, Father, that's sitting here tonight. Hold your hands real tightly, Father, and let them understand how much they are truly loved. Let them understand, Father God, that you know they're going to slip and fall. And Father God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. If you noticed all the new songs that are coming out, it's all about returning back to God. There's a lot of new songs out just this past week. Can't play them because there's no words to them yet. But they're really, really, really good songs about returning back to God. So God is on his throne. He's teaching the same message all around the world in all different languages. And that message is to stay strong in him and not allow the enemy to take you off course. Holy Spirit, you have full, total, and complete rule and reign in this sanctuary. And do what you do best. You know, one thing that I've been noticing this past week is that there's a lot of people trying to get themselves right with God. But the people around about them who know them, who think they know them, are not loving them like they ought. They're looking down upon them and remembering what they used to be, not seeing where they're trying to come out of. And you know, and God has such compassion, and he wants us to love those who are trying to. He said the prodigals were returning, right? And you know, and the Bible says, you know, righteous man will fall 7 times in one day and 7 times get back up again. So you know, if you've been sinning for years and you're trying to get free, the enemy's just not going to walk away from you. He's going to keep trying to keep you in that trap he's had you in. And so it is a struggle. But along with the struggle is that the ones who profess to love you or are around about you should be loving you, holding your hand. And, you know, I always say, thank you, God, that I'm not walking in their shoes. And I really do mean that. I get upset with people. Of course I do. But the bottom line is that they need love and they need compassion. They don't need to be pushed back down into the hole they're trying to crawl out of. And we know a lot of people are on drugs. We know a lot of people are alcoholics. You know, a lot of people into perversion. But there's also, as I said, there's a lot of people doing this. There's a lot of people trying to get out of these things too. And I'm around a lot of people who are in this stuff, and they do really good. Then all of a sudden, the enemy comes and knocks them down. And the reason why the enemy does that is because he wants to use the people around about them to destroy them. And that usually works that way, too. You know, instead of us holding each other's hands up like they did Moses' arms when he was weak from battling, they kick him back down again. God always said the church was supposed to be a hospital, and we were supposed to heal people, not kill people. And it's been a long battle trying to stay in a love walk with God. It's been a long battle up till now to really have compassion and long-suffering for those who were struggling in their sins. And this is what I'm hearing God say. He has turned a switch on, and it won't be such a struggle for the body of Christ, the true believers, to love those who slip and fall. That he's given us a new love and a new compassion for those people, and that we are supposed to pick them up and carry them when they can't walk themselves. All right. So, new food for thought. a new way that God is going. If you're one of those who's trying really super hard, I'm just telling you what I'm hearing. If you're one of those who's trying really super hard and you just want to give up on yourself, God's saying don't do that, because victory's coming. Victory's there. And I know I gave a really hard message Sunday morning, but you know, God said, I want you to read what my son Jesus preached. Led me to the scripture that he preached about the same thing I preached. And he said, you have to give the message. And I'm not coming against the people. I'm just giving the message, so now you heard it. Now you do with it whatever you want to do with it, you know. I'm not here to pull you down or to walk all over you. I'm here to give you the message. What did Jesus do? He gave the message. What did the disciples do? They gave the message. Did the people bring them into their hearts? No, they did not. They did not like the hard message. And it's the same today as it was then. And if you read your Bible, there's nothing new under the sun. And everything that's going on today has been going on since day one, if you really read your Bible and you don't understand what you're reading. And I'm hearing God say it's not going to change until Jesus comes back again. But there does come a time in a season when you will defeat the enemy of your soul and you'll stay free. So be of good cheer and know that God is with you, and God is leading and guiding your footsteps. And don't beat yourself up when you don't meet what you think, you know, the grade that you think you should meet. Just ask God to give you more wisdom and more strength. There is no one of us in this room tonight, including me, that isn't fighting every day to stay on the path that God has called us on. Especially if he's called you into holiness, if you're going to minister the gospel, you have to walk in holiness and righteousness. And if you're walking there, he's going to fight you more than he does the other person. So, you know, we just each have our own walk. We each have our own battles to fight. And I'm not going to fight your battles. I'm not going to walk your walk. I'll pray for you and walk beside you, but you have to work this out yourself. And we're going to go into that sometime, but not tonight. I just feel a different atmosphere in tonight. It's good. It's a good atmosphere. But I feel a different atmosphere because I know, like God said, he turned the switch on. And some of you, you know, you're going to find that you're going to be thinking different and acting different than you were before you came in here tonight. And you're not going to be beating yourself up all the time like you have been, because if the enemy can keep you beating yourself up, then you're never going to be set free. You understand this? Come on. And what God is trying to do us to do is get back to the basics of the Bible so we can live a godly life like we are supposed to. All right, well, that's all God is saying. So we'll go into the teaching now. This is out of John Ramirez's book, Conquering Your Spiritual Giants. John said, when we look at the life of David, we see a shepherd boy who grew up in a home where he was not loved and not held in high regard. There's a whole lot of us here tonight and listening that meet this picture. When we look at the life of David, we see a shepherd boy who grew up in a home where he was not loved and not held in high regard. In the eyes of his father and brothers, David was the misfit of the family. But in the eyes of God, David was a king, about to step into his destiny and one day lead the Lord's people the same way he led those sheep on the hillsides of Judea. David was always a king from birth, but he had to walk through life until his season to be a king came upon him. Are you listening? You all are destined to do something for God, and I think you all know what it is. If you haven't walked in it yet, you're getting ready to walk into it, and that's why the enemy is tugging at you and trying to destroy you before you get to that place. Many of us can relate to our own upbringing. Sometimes we feel that we were born in the wrong family. How many of you feel that way sometimes? Put into the wrong neighborhood. We grow up with a low self-esteem complex. Do you ever feel like the misfit in your family? You know, I'm quite sure we can. Some of us can say yes. Because we just never marched to their drumbeat. We had our own drumbeat going, right? But that doesn't make you not one of God's children. That makes you one of God's children. Because if God has foreordained you to do a special work for him, you're not going to fit in. I don't care where you're at. You're always going to feel like there's just something off. Whether it was rejection or someone molested or raped you, or you were abused by the hands of someone you had no control over, or you grew up in a home like mine that was filled with silent pain. I believe in my heart this was all in God's plan for you and me from the beginning to the end of our stories. John goes on to say, winning in Christ is a process. On the outside, David looked insignificant, but inside he was a king. I was watching Tiana, it is Tiana, isn't it? Dance tonight, and you know, when she first walked through the door, I never thought that that was in her. She was just another typical person walking through the door, you know, and look what God has done. I asked God, I said, God, I would really like to have flaggers in the church. He sent me Grace and Deborah, and look what they, you know, they just came in as typical people, you know, just coming in and joining in, and then all of a sudden, they're up here flagging their flags and doing great and powerful things. Amen. Then I asked God, I said, I need a man in a ministry who will really stand by my side, and he gave me Aaron. And look what he's done. You see what I'm saying? You just never know what's inside of a person. And whenever you ask, be careful what you ask God for. Because you might not like what he gives you, all right? Then we have Barbara, who was a self-appointed scribe, you know. You know, and God goes on and on and on. You'd be surprised what he tells me during praise and worship about you guys. All right, Esther had no mother or father and no future, just like the foster kids in foster homes today who are left behind and feel that even God has forgotten them. But Esther had a queen inside of her. She was a queen. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is our story as well. Yet as God is in the process of writing our stories, we decide to take the pen out of his hand and write our own stories. And as I said earlier, we need a bunch of white out to fix our mistakes. John says, why are we crazy enough to take the pen out of the hand of the greatest author of all creation? It is like taking the paintbrush out of Michelangelo's hands when he was painting the masterpiece in the Sistine Chapel. How much more is our God, Lord Jesus Christ, trying to paint a masterpiece of your life? Come on. Do you girls know how precious you are to God? I know you think, why do you always sing, well, sad is because God loves you so much. And he is painting a masterpiece inside of each one of you. And you will do all the things that God has spoken over your life. You will. And that's not me saying that, that's God saying that. Our mistake is that we see things in parts, and the Lord sees things in whole. On our part, we tend to make permanent decisions based on temporary situations. Isn't that true? On our part, John says, we tend to make permanent decisions based on temporary situations. Many of us start something and never finish it. Another thing. We need to pay the price and follow through come hell or high water. We need to pay the price and follow through. But we do not want to count the cost, the tears and struggles and pain, or even show up for the fight. Thought that was a neat statement. But we do not want to count the cost, the tears and struggles and pain, or even show up for the fight. John says, fight on regardless of the circumstances. Fight on. Now he talks about burying his sister. Today I came back from the cemetery after burying my sister, who passed away at the age of 29 on December 31st, 2020. She departed to be with the Lord at 7:09 p.m., holding the hand of my precious mom who stood at Desiree's bedside. This is the same mother who stood by my sister's bedside as a baby in the crib, taking the chance of adopting her, knowing that she was born with HIV positive from her natural parents. My mother knew that one day she would pay the price of my sister passing away. Throughout her short 29 years, she fought the good fight of faith. See, the mother knew this baby was going to die young, but still she adopted it. He said, my sister was rushed to the hospital on Christmas night, and on December 31st, she made Jesus Christ proud because he did not make a mistake by picking her. Desiree never lost a fight. It was her time to go home to her Savior. She never gave up on God, and God never gave up on her. It was a love story to the end. She left two little girls behind, ages 6 and 7, and they will carry on Desiree's legacy. And maybe you have said, when you've really been hurting, God, why did you ever have me born? Why did you ever bring me into this world if I was going to suffer like this? Should never ask God that question. Sometimes, John said, sometimes I do not know what to say about so-called Christians who give up on God. They come to the cross, but later on they give up on God, then say with this fake smile on their faces that they used to be a Christian. What a tragic story that will be in heaven one day. I reflect on one thing today. The last time I drove into a cemetery was 21 years ago as a devil worshiper. Now, 21 years later, I went back as a believer in Christ Jesus. I felt very proud because I was escorting my sister and not trying to buy demons or perform witchcraft on people. I didn't know he could buy demons. To God be the glory on this beautiful day. Never give up, never give up, never give up. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things, all this through him who gives me strength. This man knows everything he's talking about. He worked for the devil for what? He was the devil's son for 25 years. Committed all kind of atrocities against the Christians. And then he gave his heart to Jesus. And now he's just like Paul. Now he's working for God instead of working against God. Stay on track. What is God showing you that you are afraid of? It is funny how we have big time faith for other people, but what about you? How many of us do that? We can believe anything for somebody else, but when it comes to us, we don't. We can't. Go see what God has for you before you give up. Go see what God has for you before you give up. Stay on the journey and do not jump off. Guys, your journey with God is not going to ever be easy. It just isn't. And you know, about the time you think you're going to die in an assignment, God gives you a swift kick and says, get up. And then gives you another and far worse than the one you just came out of. But God needs servants. He needs people who will work for him. He needs people who will be dedicated to him, no matter what the cost. Name one thing that God has not pulled you through. Name one. The devil's a liar. John said, I was in the deepest world of witchcraft and God pulled me out. I was tormented by demons for 30 days and God pulled me through. So after he quit Satan, then for 30 days he was tormented day and night. He said, I was betrayed in the church and God pulled me through. I was pushed into bankruptcy and God pulled me through. I lost my home on a short sale and God pulled me through. My car was repossessed and God pulled me through. I lost my eyesight in 2002 and God pulled me through. Then he goes on to say, if he has not pulled you through, it is because you are currently going through the process right now. Amen and hallelujah. This is what we should be shouting, because, you know, we're going through the process. We're not going to stop in the middle of the process. Why should you still be here today and wake up this morning? Winners in Jesus stay in the journey. So ask yourself, are you walking in any place of agreement with the devil? You need to ask yourself that so you understand why you're in this thing, place that you're in. The devil may have turned up the heat on you, but God owns the knob on the stove. I think that's pretty neat. I'm going to remember that. The devil is a sandpaper that God is using to polish you to make you a spiritual winner. I think that's neat too. Trust me, I have seen too much in Jesus to quit now. It would have been so much easier for him just to quit Jesus and go back into devil worship. He wouldn't have all these battles he's had and still having today. So that right there would want me to serve Jesus. You know, it really would. What makes life powerful and meaningful and substantial is that God put an expectation date on it. The devil's trick is to make us believe that we will live on this earth forever. If we were to live forever, it would be sorrowful, because many of us would be spiritually lazy, thinking we had forever to get it right. And that is going on right now. We would be living for the devil instead of living for God. When God asks us to do something, we choose not to do it because our mindset is stuck in forever, and so we are disobedient. You're not going to live on this earth forever. I'm going to tell you that right now. Each one of us have a day whenever we're going to be going home. We don't know what that date is, but God has it written down. And where will you end up at? You have to live each and every day as if that day is the day you're going to be called on home. You know, you have to live each and every second as if that's the day you're going to be called on home. Wouldn't it be a shame if you were real good for a year and then you decide to slip up one day and had a heart attack and died, and you end up in hell? That's the way it works. I have news for you. The clock is ticking. It is time for every one of us to turn with urgency. We need to stop saying this line, I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on the glory drop. How many times have we heard that? I'm just waiting on God. And you and God said to me one day, I'm waiting on you. So, you know, you can quit waiting on God, because God's waiting on you to do what you're supposed to be doing. Amen. Just like I said, why isn't the glory dropping already? He said, I'm waiting on you, daughter. I'm trying to find out what I'm supposed to be doing. Yeah, I've really made myself, you know, start trusting in the Word like I used to 100%, and believing in God, anything in the Word that I used to do, I can still do today, because, see, I got into doubt and unbelief through that because of what the other people around here said. So I'm trying to line up, trying to find out what is it he's waiting on. Are you understanding this? When he tells me, I'll tell y'all. And if he tells you what he's waiting on you to do, you tell us too, all right? My question for us is this. What if you were to die today when you could have gotten your deliverance and conquered your enemy instead of waiting on God? This is what John said. My question for you is this. What if you were to die today when you could have gotten your deliverance and conquered your enemy? So if you have spirits ripping and tearing around inside of you, don't be waiting. Call the deliverance ministry and let them get you set free. We die with our gifts inside us, like a mother's baby dying inside of her. He says, what a tragic situation when you don't really have to live like that. The only reason I keep going, no matter what, even when the world is falling apart around us and pain and suffering seems to be the topic of the day, is that I love God and trust Him. Remember I told you a story? He told me I didn't trust Him anymore. This was years ago. He said, you're going to have to trust me again. So I worked on I didn't know I wasn't trusting Him. And since He said I didn't, then I worked on trusting Him again. See, you know, he'll let you know where you're falling short. Like Job, John says, like Job, I could look to my right and left and feel that he is not there. Some, we all can do that too, right? Yet in his pain, Job said in Job 19:25, I know that my Redeemer lives. God knows the way that I take. In 23:10 says, when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Do you ever stop and think the things you're going through is because you're being tested by God? You know, and I don't know how many times he says he's taken me through the furnace of affliction. And every time it's over, he always said, you have passed a test. You've come forth as pure shining gold. Then here you go through another furnace of affliction. But, you know, we just, that's a price we have to pay if we're going to do the great and mighty works, the greater works than what Jesus did. We're going to have to keep paying the price until Jesus takes us on home. I have been in those moments of time, even though I could not see him in the natural, I knew he was there. How many of you been there? You know, you don't see him, but you just know he's there. You don't even feel him, but there's just something in your knowing that you just know he's there. You know, your pain is so great, and you're crying your eyes out, and you know, but you just know the Father's right there holding your hand through it all. You must push for your breakthrough, like the woman with the issue of blood in Luke 8:43-46. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe, and immediately the bleeding stopped. I want to stop there. Quit your fussing, Nancy. You haven't been doing it for 12 years. You see, but I mean, you know, you may quit your fussing. You haven't done it for 12 years. We have to touch the hem of his garment, and we haven't done that yet. I don't know how we do that, but I think each one of us, if we're suffering with something, we have to learn how to touch the hem of his garment and get the healing. I don't care if it's pain inside. I don't care if it's your health. It doesn't matter what it is. If we're still going through it, maybe we haven't touched the hem of his garment. But then you have to also remember that God said we're going through Job experience, and Job did everything, but God didn't free him until God was ready to. He had a lot of lessons to learn in the process. And once when he gave up and started praying for his friends and quit feeling sorry for himself, God healed him. But he lost everything from A to Z. Lost everything. And Jesus allowed that to happen. Well, I don't want to serve your God. Well, I don't want to serve yours either. You know, my God's, you know, he knows what I need. And he's bringing me through it. Your God wants to kill you. Right? All right, so who touched me, Jesus asked. You know, every time I read this, I think about whenever I was in another church, when I first got born again, I was sitting at the end of the row, and the pastor's husband went by me, and I felt the virtue of God leave me. I didn't know what it was at that point, and when it did, it hit him, and he started dancing and talking in tongues all through the church. And he said that ever since he'd been born again, he wanted to be able to dance and speak in tongues. And he said, when I went by Sister Barbara, he says, something hit me. We know now it was a virtue of God. And he got what he wanted. You see why you need to be walking with God. You could be sitting in your seat. Somebody could come and sit behind you, wanting something from God, and God could use you to touch them. This is how it works. All right. Remember, I told you a story when I worked at the college. You know, we always had a chair beside our desk because we did a lot of counseling. And the staff would come and just say, can I please sit in that chair? They wouldn't say a word, and I wouldn't say a word. And I finally said to somebody, why do you want to sit in that chair? And they said, because if we sit in that chair, we get perfect peace. And all the things we've been in trouble with leave us. There's something about your chair. Was it the chair? Or was it the anointing in me? You understand what I'm saying here? It was not the chair. So whatever you're carrying in you of Jesus, well, of the devil too, but we're talking about Jesus, whatever's inside of you, when a person has a need, it's going to come out of you and meet their need. Everybody in this room can be that way. Everybody. Who touched me? Jesus asked. Everyone denied it, and Peter said, Master, this whole crowd is pressing up against you. But Jesus said, somebody deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me. This woman was an incredible person. She knew in her spirit that it was not easy to push through and get her breakthrough. She knew something that day. She knew in her heart that if she touched the Master in the spirit, she would be completely healed and set free. She would be a spiritual winner. Maybe we don't believe that we're going to be set free that day. I don't know. I just throw this stuff out for you to think about it, you know. And you know, she knew that if she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, she was going to be set free. Do we know that whenever we pray and cry out to God, that we're going to be set free, or whatever it is we're crying for? Do you really know that you know in your heart that that's going to happen? I can tell you right now, God told me that He's going to heal me when He wants to, because there's a purpose for this, so, you know. But until you hear that from God, you just keep pulling on God, you know. Overcoming the obstacles of your mind. Jesus Christ never promised that it would be easy. It is time to divorce your carnal mindset and emotions and regroup now. Well, God just doesn't want to do this, and God isn't going to do that, and I should have never done. You need to get all that mindset junk out. You are a child of God, and whatever God prophesied to you is exactly what's going to happen if you allow it to come forth. You can stop your own prophetic words, you know. Time has expired, and Proverbs 27:1 says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Remember, God told us, don't even think about tomorrow. We need to start living. He told us, what, a year ago? We're supposed to live one day at a time, because that's all we can handle. And isn't that true? You know, I wouldn't be able to handle if I knew what's going to happen a week down the road. One day at a time. And that's how, I don't know about you, but that's how I started living that day. One day at a time. And if the devil tries to get me to think about tomorrow, I said, nope, not going to go there today. I'm going to handle today, and then you can harass me tomorrow. You know? It cannot be only because you're in love with Jesus, as He has done so much for you and me that words cannot explain. Say to Him, whatever it takes, I will follow you. Come into agreement with God and dishonor the devil. Whatever it takes, I will follow you. And when you say that, you better mean that, because the enemy heard that too, and he's going to test you to the core of your being. Amen. In every area of your life. I don't know. Sometimes I think if I knew all this, I don't know if I'd have got born again. You know, it's a battle. It is a battle. Walking with God is an uphill climb, not a downhill walk. To grow spiritually and to grow in purpose and move from glory to glory. It's an uphill climb to reach that glory to glory. Line upon line, precept upon precept, you know. Pain upon pain, you know. All that goes together. That's what you said. You say, here I am, Lord, use me. See? So the devil heard you too. And he's trying to use you too. Stop giving up and stop quitting in your mind. The devil is stealing your time. The Bible says to redeem your time. Ephesians 5:16, redeem the time because the days are evil. So he says stop giving up and stop quitting in your mind. The devil is stealing your time. Is the devil stealing your time? You know, in your mind, you're just wanting to quit and sit down. Well, you need to quit feeling that way. Are you just thinking this is never going to end? And as long as you think that way, it won't. You know, but if you can trust and believe God, you know, God, you know my frame. You know all about me. So I'm yours. Do with me as you please. And you have to mean that when you say that. Give yourself over to God. And then quit complaining about the things you have to go through. You can say, I'm just not going to deal with it any longer, as much as you want. But if God wants you to deal with it, you're going to deal with it. Yeah, it's just the way it goes. I know, because I've gone through all this stuff. Are you gods or are you not? See, that's the bottom line. And if you're God, you're just, well, part of the, it's part of the program. And you know, a lot of Christians don't believe you'll ever suffer. I was kicked out of a church because I said that one time. But I said, you know, God told me we were going to suffer for his sake. And they said, don't you ever say that again. And then they made me leave the church. And God told me when I was first born again, some are born to suffer, and you are one of those. You will suffer for my sake. So I know, I was forewarned what it was going to go through. Paul was going to suffer for the sake of Christ. Peter was going to suffer for the sake of Christ. If you're truly, truly committed to God, you're going to suffer for the sake of Christ. You just are. The devil knows that there is an expiration date on your purpose and destiny. It is the day you die. That's your expiration date. Till the day you die, you have to keep fighting. Now is the time to hit back and fight back. Renew your mindset and your giftings. In 2 Timothy 1:6, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. You know, every one of you have the gifts inside of you. All you have to do is use them. You know, I was dumb when I was born again, and I just read the word of what I could do, and I just did it. And everybody says, you can't do that. That isn't godly. But my word said I could, and I did, and it worked. For years and years, it worked until I started believing the lies of the pastors around here. And that's what got me in trouble. Then I started doubting, are you still going to do miracles if I pray for the people? Are you still going to do this? He didn't. Because he doesn't work in doubt and unbelief. Are you listening? But if you can believe when you lay hands on the sick, they're going to recover. They will recover. But you have to believe that, really believe that. Naomi believes that she can lay hands on anything and it'll recover. And it does. You know, because she has faith to believe that. So whatever your faith is, that's what you're going to be able to do. I know these are chaotic, unpredictable, uncertain times in the world today. The foundations are cracked. And we know that the foundation's cracked, the spiritual foundation in the world. But 2 Timothy 2:3-4 says, endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Paul's talking to Timothy. He says, endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. Paul says, I'm suffering. And come along, Timothy, and suffer with me. Do the work God's called you forth to do. Aren't you tired of suffering for the sake of the devil? I mean, I watch people that fall in the devil, and my Lord, they suffer all the time. They actually think they're happy. And you know, it blows my mind that the devil can get them, their minds so warped and so twisted that they actually believe they're happy. They aren't even existing. Well, no, they aren't living, they're just existing, is what I should have said. Amen. John said, I'm not going to let a day, a month, or a year change me. In other words, he's going to follow Christ no matter what happens. I will change it through the power of the Holy Spirit. One thing I want God to do for me, and that is to keep me hungry for Jesus all the days of my life. That's a good prayer to pray, God, keep me hungry. I want to be like Paul and finish my race the way he did in 2 Timothy 4:7-8. Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Paul says, everybody's going to get this prize if you keep your eyes on Jesus. All right, we handed you out some prayers that you can pray at home. All right, and John said, from Genesis to Revelation, we see how the Lord Jesus Christ uses his angels many times to carry out his purposes to help believers on the battlefield. Angels are created beings that have supernatural strength and live in the presence of God, waiting for an assignment to be dispatched and help us win the good fight of faith. Then he has some more prayers. Then he says, read the reinforcement prayers that were handed out tonight. No, I said that. No, he did say that. Finish by giving God the praise, glory, and honor for what he has done in your life, in Jesus' name. The problem with the body of Christ is you've been told too long that once you say, you know, I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, you're going to go to heaven, and that's not true. They also tell you you're never going to suffer. They haven't read the word because it talks about that all through the New Testament. And if, as you read your word, if you noticed in the Old Testament, God always used the angels to take messages to his people. I don't know if you noticed that or not. And so God is saying the same angelic hosts are on the earth right now wanting to bring messages to God's people. And God's given me a word for the newsletter, and he said it, we're going to start seeing the angels, and they're going to be bringing us assignments. Then God started, he first of all did use nothing but the angels, then he started using the prophets, and then we get in the New Testament, then he started using his disciples and had prophets to go forth and give the people the words. Now we're back to the angels helping us give the words. But as you read through your Bible, you know, you'll see that every person who was totally sold out to God suffered immensely. The disciples that followed Jesus died horrible deaths. They did not just quietly get shot in the head. Who was it was drugged through the streets? Peter was hung upside down. You know how that is. Blood all rushes to your head. That's painful. You know, if you read about, they all died a horrible death. But they never cursed God. And their walk with God, you know, Paul hid many times. David hid. You know, but yet they were God's chosen people. Why are we giving up on God? I need you to ask yourself that question tonight. Why are you still serving the devil? He has absolutely nothing to offer you but death. Eternal death. And like I said, I've been to hell 3 times, and I don't want anybody to go to hell. And that's why I really work with people who just won't give up their sins, because I know what they're going to suffer when they go to hell. Excuse me. And it's, they never quit suffering. But when you go to heaven, it's just, you know, it's just peace. I don't need to go to heaven. I needed to go to hell. Because I really didn't care. I would say, if you want to go to hell, go ahead and go to hell. I don't really care. That was my attitude as a pastor. And so God took me to hell to show me one person what they were going to endure if they went there. And then, of course, he took me there 3 times, so I saw 3 different things. I don't want anybody to go to hell. I'll pay the price to keep ministering to you and ministering to you and keep being rejected and talked about and what a fool I am and everything, because you just do not understand what eternal hell really holds for you. I'm not even going to talk about heaven. That, you know, what you need to be concerned about is what hell holds for you, which is nothing but pure pain and misery. I was down there, and there was one person went perverted. They wanted sex. They didn't want sex. They were throwing up. It was just a back and forth concept. It was horrible, and they were screaming, "No, no, yes, yes," you know, and it was awful, awful torment. Same thing with a person that was overeating. You know, gluttony will take you to hell too. They were saying, "I want to eat," and he was shoving food in their mouth, and they were puking it back up again. "No, no, I don't want it. Yes, I want it." It's torment. Is that what you want for the rest of your life? Nothing that you have to endure here in this earth can compare to what you'll go through in hell. Yeah, so each one of you have to make up your own mind. That God has righteous standards in his word, and that's how, if you're going to be used by him, then you have to meet those standards. And you women, you need to quit being foolish. And you men, you need to quit being foolish too. And if you're married, you need to treat your wife right and treat your husband right. And, you know, and make your happy family life. Because everything you do is written in a book. And you're going to be judged for it. You know, I know some people, if they die right now, they wouldn't go to heaven. And I have to talk to them. Because, you know, in any given moment I could die, you know. That's just, you know. And if I don't tell them before this happens, I really don't believe I'm going to die, but I could is what I'm saying. You could. And if I don't tell them before I die, then when I stand before God, their blood's going to be in my hands. And that's in the Word. And He's going to say, why didn't you tell them? I told you to tell them. And He is telling me to tell three people what's going to happen to them if they would die today. I just don't want to go through that. You know, but it's not what I want. It's what God's asking me to do. So in your walk with God, He's going to ask you to do many things that you really are not going to want to do. God, let somebody else do it. And that, you know, I'm going through this. But God has souls that only you can win. They're assigned to you, and your assignment is to win them. So it's your decision tonight. What was the title? Conquering Your Spiritual Giants. So whatever it is that's holding you back tonight, God wants to take it away from you. And He wants you to bring you into a realm that you have not yet reached in Christ. And He's saying that in that realm is where you will conquer your giants. And you'll be free to do the things that He's called you forth to do. All right? So the altar's open for that.